He made the stars also. He made the stars also. I want to talk about our Creator God. The first thing God wanted us to know about was He the Creator, even before the Redeemer. The first verse of the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And then He talked about creation. Now, I believe in creation with all my heart. I'm glad there are lots of scientists that believe in creation. We have people like Henry Moore, who's gone to be the Lord, and the Institute of Creation Research. We've got Ken Ham, Answer for Genesis. Now, I'm glad they've done a lot of work, but that's not why I believe in creation. I believe in creation because of Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. That means God made everything out of nothing. And I believe that. Even though there's lots of evidence, I don't really need the evidence since I'm a Bible believer. I believe what God said in Genesis. It's very important that we realize how great the Creator God is. In fact, I just got good news for you. God's bigger than you think He is. You think He's pretty big? Why don't you multiply that by billions and billions? He's bigger and stronger than you think that He is. And God wants us to know about creation. The three main reasons. Number one is we glorify Him. You know, people try to rob God when they believe in evolution and things like that. That robs God of His glory. I want to glorify God all my life. I want you to do it also, more than you ever have. But not only, and by the way, the Bible is filled with creation. In almost every book of the Bible, creation interspersed there. Maybe not every book, but almost every book. If you want to do a study sometime, it's amazing how many times God mentions that in both Old and New Testament. Because not only do we want to glorify God, we are made to trust God more when God manifests His wisdom and His power. He manifested both His wisdom and His power. I read you a verse in Jeremiah, and it says that in creation. But to get down, but first I want to start. I've had a lot of scriptures that I'm going to give you if you want them. I even got a list here if you want them. But I got a lot of things came to my mind even after I got in the pulpit or after I got in the seat over there. But you know, God makes a big deal out of creation. In fact, let's go to Revelation chapter 4. I preach through Revelation, as you know. I'm not a scholar of Revelation, but I enjoy preaching through it. And I thought I'd go just preach through the first three chapters about the seven churches of Asia. But then, when I got in chapter 4, I got hooked on it. Because John's been down here on the earth on the Isle of Patmos, and we know about the seven churches of Asia. But then, something happens. He's taken into heaven itself. And I'm going to show you the first scene of worship in heaven we find in the book of Revelation. I'm going to read down to it. I could just give you the verse, but I think I'd rather read down to it. Let's start in Revelation chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. After this, I looked and beheld a door opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." I'm going to have to get some reading glasses now. You have to excuse me here. I'm going to hesitate a little bit. And immediately, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now look at this absolutely majestic scene. And he that sat on the throne, he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There's a rainbow around about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. This is an absolutely majestic scene. And the four beasts, and the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, The third beast had a face like a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts and each of them six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within. And they rest not. I just love this verse. You've heard me quote it lots of times. And they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying that this is the first worship song we hear in heaven. This is amazing to me. We love this. We sing it sometimes. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created." Isn't that wonderful? My friend, God wants us to celebrate his creation. Isn't that glorious? They're celebrating God's creation. Now, I want to go to another place in the 38th chapter of Job. And, you know, Job had been, he had a great man, but he was not perfect. He made some mistakes. And one of the mistakes he made was, he was kind of, "Lord, if I could just see you, I could kind of explain what's going on. And maybe we could have a talk." He said a lot of good things, but he was not perfect. Well, he did that until God appeared to him. And look what God said. God shut Job's mouth up. In fact, if you look at chapter 40, also chapter 42, he said, "I'm going to put my hand on my mouth." And that's what we got to do if we realize how great God is. You know, people, they argue and carry on. But brother, when they see the majesty of God, they got to shut their mouth. Just shut our big mouth. Sometimes I gripe and complain. When I see how great God is, I got to shut my mouth and to worship God. I'm going to give you some figure today that'll blow your mind. Your mind won't be able to handle what I'm going to give you. But when you come to figures that you can't handle, you know what you do? You either reject them or you start worshiping God. I want to start worshiping God. I'm going to blow your mind today. I promise you I'll blow your mind. About God's vastness. So what that ought to cause, you can't understand this. I told you before, you have got any idea how big God is. You have got any idea how infinite his knowledge is. And in the last days, it's amazing what God's doing. He's leaving people without excuse. They've always been without excuse, but in the last day, more all the time. Not only in the world of astronomy, which I'll talk about that in a little bit, there's more and more discovery being made in astronomy that glorify God. But not only that, my friend, in the microbiological world, there's been a revolution in microbiology in the last 30 or 40 years. There's no such thing as a simple cell. The cells you think are simple are intricate machinery. They got little propellers on them. They got gears. You ought to do some studying on that. Brother, God is bigger than you think he is. I'll tell you he is. We're just kind of messing around. Well, Job argued with God a little bit, so then the Lord appeared to him. Look at what the Lord said in Job 38. "And the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel with word without knowledge?" Does that kind of characterize you sometimes? It does me. I get to kind of questioning God, you know. "Lord, why me? Or why this, Lord?" Something like that. You ever do that? He said, "Who are you that darkening counsel with words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare it if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? This morning stars are angels, brother. The angels were probably made first, and they watched the creation. They were going wild. I really believe in heaven. I can't prove this. God may show us that sometime. I can just see a great big stadium, and God goes, "Show me creation." He may do that. Who knows? Because history is his story. We may get to see Noah's Ark. Who knows what we may see? We got forever to see all this kind of stuff. You got to glorify God. But I tell you, the angels were going crazy when they realized what God was doing as he created this universe. "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." And the sons of God does designate angels. And then when I go to the ocean sometime, I always love these next verses. As the waves just keep coming in, but the world's not flooded. Even though the world's three-fourths water, the world's not flooded by water. There's a reason for that. "Who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth as if it issued out of the womb. When I made the cloud, the garment thereof, and thick darkness, a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors. He set bars on the ocean, and said, hitherto shalt thou come no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. I love to quote that when I go to the ocean sometime. So, my friend, what a great God we serve. Now, let me give you just a few more verses to show you how much God values creation, and you and I ought to value creation, and think about it more, young people and old people and middle-aged people alike, and glorify God, do some thinking about creation today. We forget and think about it sometimes. We're in a world that's given over to evolution. But I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of brilliant PhDs. They're evolutionists, but they're all fools. I hate to say that to them. I wouldn't want to insult them. But God said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I'd rather be a simple Bible believer. I believe what God said about creation because God had given me the gift of faith. And I rejoice in that. All right. Let's go to, well, how about John chapter 1? See, Jesus Christ is involved in creation. The whole Trinity is involved in creation. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him, not anything made that was made. All things made by Jesus Christ, God included in the Godhead. Now, let's look at Hebrews 1. That's a majestic chapter. I'm always saying that, aren't I? The whole Bible is majestic in a way, but some are just absolutely majestic, more than others even. Hebrews 1, I love this because what you have here is eavesdropping on the Holy of Holies. You have God the Son, God the Father addressing God the Son. That's a whole sermon in itself. God the Father is addressing God the Son, and he called him God and called him Lord. How about that for people who don't believe the divinity of Christ? How about that who people don't believe the divinity of Christ? Brother, God the Father is addressing his Son. He called him God, called him Lord. When I get to thinking about that, I get chill bumps as God lets me eavesdrop in the Holy of Holies. But look what God said about his Son over here, and not the whole chapter, of course. Let me see. Okay, look. Hebrews chapter 1. Just read a couple of verses here. I think I'll start in verse 8. That's the one where he's calling him God. But it says, Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now look at this. And thou, Lord, see, God the Father is calling his Son Lord. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. I won't read more how I like to, but isn't that glorious, absolutely glorious? Brother, God wants us to think about him and be a creator God. Now, what I'm going to do for a while, I've not got down my subject yet, and he made the stars also. I'm looking forward to that. I just love the expression, he made the stars also. I'll give you a little hint. It's kind of like an afterthought. Now, when I tell you how many stars in the universe, your mind's going to lock up. It's going to lock up. But it's like God said, well, he made the stars also. That's my big old God. He made the world. Just kind of, well, after that, I guess I'll make some stars too. You'll be amazed at that. I love that title. He made the stars also. Don't ever forget that. I hope God will pull that in your heart. Let's look at some scriptures now about creation. I'm going to look at some scripture about creation. How about Psalm 8, 3 and 4? When I consider thy heavens. My friend, we can consider it even better today than when this was written because we have these new telescopes. But just look it out and see the 3,000 stars you can see with the visible eye should have been enough. That's what God's talking about here. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? My friend, we ought to be humble before God. There's probably how many billion people in the world today? Maybe 6 billion? I'm just a little speck. God's the one who created this earth. He still has me in his mind. He visits me. Isn't that amazing? How can God do that? He's infinite. That's how. Let me tell you something. If you're a child of God, God gives you his personal attention at all times. His personal attention. And if you're the only person that ever existed, how many people in the world? How many hairs on the heads? That'd be a Bible, Lord, wouldn't it? He numbers every one of them. That's what the Bible said. Do you believe the Bible? I believe the Bible. Do you believe he knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart? I believe he does. My friend, God is mighty. Let's look at Psalm 19, verse 1 through 3. Just listen to the Word of God now. If I don't even can explain it very well, I just read it all to your soul and feed your soul. Psalm 19, the first three verses. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter a speech, and it does. And we see how the heavenly bodies revolve around each other. How we revolve around go around the sun and the earth on its axis, all that kind of thing. God's talking to us all the time in creation. Day unto day utter a speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Every human being, my friend, in the world, can hear what God doing in nature. Now let's read Romans 1:18. Let me say this. I know we can't know Jesus Christ unless we're born again. I know that. You can't just know Jesus Christ. God, he got to reveal him to you in regeneration. Then you know Jesus Christ. But let me say this. Every individual on this earth, born again or not, is obligated to honor God as the creator. You hear what I said? Every individual on this earth, born again or not, is obligated to honor God as creator. I'm here to read it to you. God made it plain. Now, some people harden their hearts so much and get so blind they can't see it. But there's no excuse. Let me read you this verse over in Romans 1:18. 18 and 19. For the wrath of God, see, God got some wrath, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That word hold really means to hold down. It means to suppress the truth. To suppress the truth. Brethren, we have people suppressing the truth, trying to hold it down today. And God said God's wrath is against those kind of people. Now hear why, God, why? Because that which may be known of God, get this now, that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, get this, get it, are clearly seen. The things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. My friend, the heavens are continually talking about God, and it's clear when people without excuse, they don't acknowledge God the Creator. You remember that? We live in a terrible environment. The Bible's got to be what we go by, not by what people are saying all around about us. All right, let's look at a few more scriptures on creation before I get down to my real subject, and he made the stars also. Look at Nehemiah 9:6. Get a few of these and memorize some of them. Chew on some of these. They'll do you good. Pick you a few favorites of today. Nehemiah 9:6. I tell you, the whole scriptures are full, my friend, of the creative activity of our wonderful God. The first thing he wants us to know, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. First thing he wants us to know. Okay, Nehemiah 9:6. Thou art Lord, alone thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all. Not only is he the creator, he's a preserver. And the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Let's join the host of heaven and worship God. My friend, he's the creator and the sustainer. If God turns his back on this world, she's gone just like that. As an individual, even the people who curse him, get the very breath they get to curse him. From God Almighty, every heartbeat they've got comes from him. Every inhalation that they have, their breathing, comes from Almighty God. Isn't that wonderful? Remember that, my friend, and honor God. Let's look at Isaiah 45:18. Now, Tony Martin, I feel sorry for Tony. I've already given him a lot of assignments. He's supposed to be listening today. I want him to bring some talk to us pretty soon about several things. My friend, the inhabitable earth, the vastness of the universe, all kinds of things. Look at this great verse now. I'm going to make a point. I wish I could diverse on it. I can't. I'll make a few comments. Look at Isaiah 45:18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There's none else. My friend, God made this earth to be inhabited. I could go on for an hour or two on this. I won't. Tony could get up to 10 hours and he would never run out of steam. This environment is perfect for us. We live what even the scientists call the Goldilocks zone. Not too hot, not too cold, just exactly right. My friend, even the very place where our Jupiter is keeping all kinds of planets away from us. We get the Van Allen belt, the magnetic belt that keeps these rays. It would fry us in a minute. My friend, this world made for us the right mixture of oxygen and so forth. This world is formed to be inhabited. Let me just say a few things before I go further. Men have made all kinds of efforts to deny this. Because they got a bias against God. There's something called SETI, S-E-T-I. Look it up. Capital S-E-T-I. The search for extraterrestrial intelligence. Trying to find life somewhere in the universe. Formed in 1984. $250 million has been spent on it. Looking for signals from outer space from intelligent people. They hadn't heard one, they ain't going to hear one either. God made this earth to be inhabited. This is where Jesus Christ came to this earth. Where Adam and Eve were formed on this earth. God made the whole universe for a reason. It's a vast universe. He had a reason. There's not a star out there that's out there just thrown out there without God knowing about it. I tell you, God is bigger than you can imagine. Bigger than I can imagine. No wonder I blew him a few kisses this week and raised my hands up. He deserves my worship, my praise, and I look forward to praying to him forever. I'll see him face to face and know more about him. He made this earth to be inhabited. You all thank God he did. When the guys go up on spaceships, they got to carry their environment with them, don't they? They didn't get out of the spaceship for 1 second. They're goners, my friend. But God had let us live on this earth. What an environment we have that he made for us. Now let's go to Jeremiah 10:12. Talks about his wisdom and his power. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established it, having set the world by his wisdom. And hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. My friend, God shows his power and his wisdom in the creation of this universe. I know I'm going fast. If you don't get this list, you can have it. You can have it later. I'm just touching the surface. I'm scratching the surface, I tell you I am. The half hadn't been told. The 1 millionth hadn't been told when I get through. Look at Psalm 139:14. You appreciate your body? You probably don't. You don't appreciate your body. It's not amazing we get sick. It's amazing we stay well as much as we do. I got a bunch of nurses and doctors in my family. And sometimes I get all kind of, think I got something. I didn't know you could get that much stuff. I remember the first time old Debbie Fulmer was going to nursing school. She brought a textbook home. I didn't know you could get that many things wrong with you. Listen, y'all thank God you think they're working with you the way they are. Thank God for your body. You did it for his service. It's made for his service. Look at Psalm 139:14. I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul doth right well. Praise God for that body he made for you. Not only did he show his power in the creation of this universe, in that human body. It's ludicrous to think that it could have evolved. In fact, it makes you want to laugh out loud. I do laugh out loud sometimes. I won't get started on that right now. You're more complicated than you think you are. Don't get scared. I go home and get sick. You're more complicated than you think you are. You got the endocrine system. You got to just excrete the right kind of stuff, or you're up a creek. You got electrical stuff going in your heart. You got to have the right gut environment to stay well. I found out that the hard way, didn't I? Brother, I'm telling you, you're more complicated than you think you are. You got to say, I will praise thee. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous thy works, that my soul knows right well. Now, one of my very favorites is over in Psalm 6 through 9, 33, I mean, 6 through 9. I love this scripture. I guess it's a memorized. I'm going to read it because I might stumble, but this is what I've memorized and chew on sometimes. Psalm 33:6-9. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, all the host of them, the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together in a heap. He left up the depth and storehouses. Now, listen to this verse 8 and 9. Listen very carefully. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Isn't that something? He just spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. All right, I'm a couple more. I'll be through. I don't know about you, but I like this. I like this. It elevates my heart to worship God. God, reveal more of yourself to me. I may worship you better. And may have more confidence in you, Lord. The world seems like it's, that the wicked of this world, they're not running this world. God's running this world. They may have surveillance, but guess who's surveilling them? They may have some facial recognition software. God don't even need software. He knows all about what's going on with everybody, even the thoughts and intents of their heart. We need to keep things in perspective by keeping our mind on the Creator, ruling God. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 40:26. Lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one of them faileth. Now listen, he called the stars by number there. He called them by name. Remember that, because I'm fixing to tell you about some stars. God, he got a name for every star. He got a name, that's what that verse says. He got a name for every star. I got another verse I'll read you in a minute to talk about that. Now let me tell you, for folks, I'm fixing to talk about in a minute about the immensity of the universe a little bit, just a little bit. You can take hours on this. I'm not even qualified to do it, but you get on YouTube sometimes. I mean, get on Google it sometimes. You spend hours and hours and hours on stuff like this. But let me tell you this. This universe is big, 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 real big, bigger than I think it was, used to think it was. But it's not infinite. Only God's infinite. At one time, this universe did not exist. Only God existed. He's a spirit. He spoke the entire universe into existence. We're not materialists. We, my friend, don't believe that only material things are what's real. God spoke the material things into existence. Now, let me tell you a few things before I go further, just to mention a few things. I'm going to mention a book to you. I don't get the book necessarily. Both the guys are atheists, but they're honest atheists. A couple of guys wrote a book. Peter Ward and Donald Brownlee wrote a book several years ago. I got a copy at my library called The Rare Earth. The Rare Earth. They're not believers. But they realize, my friend, that the earth is the only place in this universe where human life could exist. It's the rare earth. They go into all kinds of things. You'd thank God for the environment we live in. And then there's another man, Gonzalez. I can't pronounce his first name. I'm not too good in Spanish. He wrote, my friend, a book, you may have seen it, called The Privileged Planet. Where our earth is in the right place in the universe, it's a privileged planet, my friend. I tell you, there's so much stuff you can read about, but I just believe the Bible, and I love to read stuff to corroborate this kind of thing. All right. Now, here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to do. He made the stars also. That got me when I was reading. I just got tickled. He made the stars also. Isn't that something? He's around here just creating the earth, you know, just like God's do. I think I just made the stars also. Then he tried hard. Ready? We just touched the surface a little bit. It appears that our Milky Way, that's our galaxy we're in, contains at least 100 billion stars. Now, you might all start locking up a little bit. It gets bigger than that, a lot bigger. Some people think it's 250 billion stars. You know how much a billion is? It's 1,000 million. Milky Way, our galaxy. I'm not talking about our solar system. Our sun is a star in our solar system, the only star in our solar system. But we're in a galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. Got between 100 and 250 billion stars. Now that's incomprehensible. Another mind-boggling fact is that our galaxy is just one out of at least 100 billion galaxies, which contain the universe. Can you believe that? 100 billion galaxies? Now look, they just got a new telescope out. You know, y'all aware of that? Some of you people, I know Tony probably is. It's the James Webb Telescope. You know, you've heard of the Hubble Telescope. This thing makes it look like a little bitty telescope. The James Webb Telescope costs $10 billion. It's a joint effort of the Canadian and the United States and I think Great Britain. There are three countries involved in it. $10 billion. They stand it up December the 24th, 2021. Now, the motive is not good. God can use even stuff like this. Their motive is they want to discover how the universe got started. Well, Paul just read the Bible. You can save $10 billion. $10 billion. They want to go and look at how the universe got started. But the good part is God's using that to discover mind-blowing things. They thought for a while they knew how big the universe was. But James Webb is bigger and bigger and bigger. Wouldn't you think that fall down and worship God? Now look, I know that the universe and God are not the same thing, but that shows something about God's vastness. His vastness. That ought to make anybody want to worship. He's vast. He's big time vast. Astronomers today estimate there are at least 10 trillion trillion. That's trillion stars in the universe. That before James Webb. You can't comprehend that. American astronomer Carl Sagan, I didn't like old Sagan, he's an atheist, but he still was an atheist. He's dead now. He once stated that there are more stars in our universe than there are grains of sand on all the beaches of the earth. That's what the astronomers say. They said there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on all the beaches of the earth. I guess the original scripture, Jesus Christ named every one of them. He got a name for every one of them. I tell you, he's bigger than you think he is. He named every one of them. There's not a one of them he made just as useless, just kind of, well, I'll just grab a bunch of stars. He knows what he's doing. Now let's talk about the vastness of the universe for a minute. The vastness. Now, this is not exactly on the subject. It is in a way. But it helps to me to get a hold of how big God is, how vast the universe is. Ready? Y'all know this, I know. Some of you do. Most of you do. Light travels at a constant speed of 186,000 miles a second. That's the speed of light. 186,000 miles a second. That means light would go around this globe 7.5 times in a second. Circumnavigate the globe 7.5 times in 1 second. That's a light. But to put that in perspective, if you could travel at the speed of light, you would be able to circumnavigate like the globe approximately 7.5 times. Now, light goes from the moon to the earth in approximately a second, about 240,000 miles away. But light goes from the sun to the earth, it takes 8 minutes. The sun's a long way, 93 million miles away. Now get this. This is the Milky Way I told you about. They had these probably between 250 billion and 100 billion stars. My friends, it is 100,000 light years in diameter. That's the Milky Way galaxy. Now, let's look at this a little bit. 1 light second is 186,000 miles, right? 1 light minute is 11,600,000 miles. 1 light hour, 671 million miles. 1 light day, 16.1 billion miles. 1 light year, 5.8 trillion miles. 100,000 light years, which is across the Milky Way, 588, I don't know what this thing is. I never got that far. I'm at quadrillion miles. How much? I don't have, Tony, have to tell about a quadrillion someday. My friend God's a big old God. He's a big old God. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows everything. So what is my purpose in all this? It's a threefold purpose. Number one, that we may glorify God better. I want to stand in awe of God. We use that word awe way too loosely. That's awesome because he has to dunk a basketball. Well, that may be a pretty good deal for a tall guy, but there's nothing awesome about that. The Grand Canyon is kind of awesome. But brother, the only thing that's really awesome is our God. We ought to be awed by God. If we were awed by God, we'd have more reverential lives. I believe the reason sometimes we don't live better is we don't have the proper awe of God in our hearts and minds. This old man's been begging God to help me to fear him more. Like I said in Psalm 86:11, unite my heart to fear thy name. My friend, if I fear God, I'll hate evil more than I do. I'll do what it says in Hebrews 1 about Jesus Christ, when God the Father talking to the Son said, you've loved righteousness and hated iniquity. I want to love righteousness more and actually hate iniquity more. We're sinners, so we like iniquity in a way. We ought to learn how to hate iniquity and love righteousness. So my number one motive in this entire message is that we may glorify God, but also we may take comfort. Brothers, that God that's so awesome in his power and wisdom loves his children with an infinite love. I love my children, but I'm limited in what I can do. Some of my kids needed to have braces on their teeth when I couldn't afford to do it. God's not limited like that. Sometimes I might not know what to do for my children. God is not limited in wisdom. He knows what to do. You can trust God Almighty. You're going through some things now you don't understand. If there's one thing I've said in my ministry, I've said it more than anything else. God never said to trust me, but God said, never said understand me. God said trust me. You can't understand an infinite God like that. And we can look at things from a God standpoint, we wouldn't worry about what's going on. I don't like it because Will's got cancer. I'm praying for God to cure Will of his cancer. But brother, if he doesn't, God has got a better idea. And if Will could see it from God's standpoint, he'd bow down to that. We all would do that. We all would do that. We have a great God.